The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Welcome. Thank you for joining us today on Grace in Focus, this broadcast podcast of the Grace Evangelical Society. We are still in the book of Jonah, and we have worked our way to the last chapter, chapter 4, today. Bob Wilkin and Dave Renfro have been talking about this most reluctant prophet, Jonah. Today, our reluctant prophet is also angry. Why is it that sometimes God can be so gracious and we can be so angry? Maybe Jonah is even suicidal. In a few moments after the discussion, I'll come back and tell you more about the Grace Evangelical Society and our website, how you can avail yourself of our resources. Now to today's discussion with Bob Wilkin and David Renfro. Gentlemen.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Bob Wilkin with
David Renfro.
All right, and we're in Jonah chapter 4, the reluctant prophet, and the people of Nineveh have repented, and God has relented. So why don't you go over the outline of Jonah chapter 4? I think there's three parts.
There's three parts to the chapter. The first four verses is essentially Jonah is not pleased with the results of chapter 3. Nineveh repenting.
He went to an entomologist. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
You know why he went to the entomologist?
To repent?
No, because he was ticked off.
Oh, no.
He was ticked, see, so he went to the entomologist.
Yeah, he needed to be fumigated, really. the first four verses is Jonah is not a happy camper.
No.
Verses 5-9, the Lord rebukes Jonah for his anger.
And by the way, God's not a happy camper about Jonah.
Right. The interesting thing about this chapter is there's a lot of irony in here. And so we're going to just kind of work our way through this chapter.
Okay. Well, let's begin then. I'll read the first verse here. It says, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry." So evidently God made his decision known to Jonah. And as we're going to see, evidently Jonah is still hoping that God will relent again and go back and destroy him. So Jonah still has some hope of destruction, as we're going to see. But the idea that God has now decided he's not going to destroy them really displeases him, and he's an angry man. Like I said, he's ticked off.
Well, I love the Hebrew in verse 1 because it's translated, "It displeased Jonah exceedingly." The Hebrew literally is, "It was evil to Jonah with great evil."
Wow.
And that repetition of the word evil means he was extremely angry. This was interesting. Normally, if you go to a city and you have a message like Jonah did, and it works out, the people repent, and Nineveh is not destroyed, what do you say?
Normally you'd be like, "Wow, God used me. Isn't this amazing? I'm going to go tell everybody.
I love my ministry."
Yeah.
Here's Jonah. What he's saying is, in verse 1, "I'm angry that my ministry was a success."
Right.
That's how twisted Jonah is.
Because
right now,
in his idea, a successful ministry would have been Nineveh being destroyed.
Right.
All of them wiped out.
He's livid with the Lord because that's why he went west when the Lord told him to go east to Nineveh from Israel. He knew that the Lord would probably relent, that God was a gracious God, and that this could happen. And he didn't want it because, then, like I said earlier, the Ninevites were not nice people. Jonah knew it, and he wanted God to judge them and destroy them.
I got a quick funny anecdote. I was in Phoenix for a conference, and I was flying home, and I was talking to a pastor who'd been at the conference. We got into the issue of eternal security, and we were talking about the fact that if a person believes in Christ, they're secure forever.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some women nearby listening. And one of them, she was about 30 years old. She said, "My husband's one of these once saved, always saved people." Like, she said, "You know, he cheated on me, that dog. And then he said, but I'm still saved because I believed in Jesus. And so once saved, always saved." And she said, "That's a bunch of malarkey." She said, "He's going to hell." And then this other woman who was about 60, she came over and she said, "Yeah, that's right. Bad people can't go to heaven." And so then the pastor friend I was with is like, "Yeah, well, how bad is bad? Aren't we all sinners? Don't we all fall short of the glory of God?" And she said, "Well, yeah, sinners can go to heaven, but not bad people." Don't a lot of people think that way?
And absolutely.
Jonah here isn't talking about who gets to get in the kingdom.
Right.
Jonah's thinking who gets temporal judgment. And he's saying these are bad people. They warrant annihilation. And so the fact that it's not happening bothers him. But it's like when the pastor and I were talking to these ladies, we were thinking, if God's been gracious to me, don't I want him to be gracious to everybody?
Absolutely.
It either applies to all of us or none of us. So he goes on, verse 2. Yeah. So he prayed to the Lord and said, "Ah, Lord, was this not what I said when I was still in my country?" So you're right. He had this attitude even before he left. "Therefore, I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm." Isn't that what we want in the God of the universe?
You would think that, except with Jonah, his hatred of the Ninevites overruled. He knew the character of God being gracious. And Jonah knew before he even went that the Lord would not judge Nineveh if they responded in the right way. But he didn't want that. And that's what he's complaining about.
So then he says, "Therefore now, O Lord," look at this. Therefore, he's saying, in light of what you've done, since you're not going to destroy them, take my life.
Yeah.
Take my life for me, for it is better for me to die than to live.
Life just ain't worth living anymore because the Ninevites weren't judged.
He doesn't get it.
It's not even close.
And then God says, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Well, obviously, this is a rhetorical question, right?
Yeah. He's saying, who are you to be angry?
Like, right.
You're the standard of the universe.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing. And in fact, that's what a lot of people are doing today. They think that if they are angry at something, that their standard is absolute. They essentially establish themselves as the moral standard of the whole universe.
And
Jonah's doing that same thing.
And doesn't that happen a lot in the church?
No.
No. Okay. And, you know, doors have hinges, right?
Uh-huh.
The hinge is what it rotates on. Well, verse 4 is kind of a hinge verse because it's the end of Jonah being ticked and it's the beginning of God rebuking him.
Right.
Now, verse 4 isn't quite a rebuke. Is it right for you to be angry? But it's based on the rhetorical nature of the question. It's starting the rebuke.
It's setting the stage for this rebuke that he's about to experience in his life here.
All right, verse 5. So Jonah went out of the city, and he sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade, till he might see what would become of the city. So he still has hope that the city will be destroyed, right?
Well, yeah, I guess in Jonah's mind, the Lord changed his mind and not destroyed Nineveh. Maybe after all this, maybe he'll change his mind again and destroy it. I'm going to sit up here on a mountain or a hillside east of the city and just see what the Lord does, see if he relents from his relenting.
And maybe he's hoping that the people of Nineveh will turn back to their evil ways so that God will destroy them, which is, by the way, we shouldn't be wishing for people to turn back to their evil ways.
No.
I mean, his attitude is just wrong.
No, his only goal in life is to see the Ninevites destroyed. That to him, that's the ultimate good.
So
and if something happens that doesn't support that goal, then that must be evil. It must be a bad thing.
All right. Now, you need to explain 6, 7, and 8, and I guess we got enough time for this. This is kind of mysterious. The Lord prepares a plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So this is some extremely fast-growing plant, like with big elephant ear, leaves, and it's giving him shade, right?
Kind of like some weeds in my yard.
Yeah, mine too. And so it says, so Jonah was very grateful for the plant.
He was literally overjoyed.
So that's a good thing, right? He's pleased. He knows it's from God, and he's pleased.
What the Lord is doing here, I think, is I put beside this verse this word that we talk about a lot, grace. And the reason I say that is because the Lord, even though Jonah has this weird perspective about what's going on, the Lord comforted Jonah, though he didn't really deserve it.
Right.
You know, Jonah then becomes attached to this plant. He's just overjoyed, like, you know, I'm a happy camper, because I'm sitting here in the sun. Yeah, I've got this shelter, but it's still hot. And all of a sudden, here's this beautiful plant shading me.
And the plant's like his friend.
Right.
But then guess what happens?
Look at verse 7.
What does it say?
But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm, and so it damaged the plant that it withered.
The Lord gave it to him, but then took away. Kind of reminds me of Job, right?
Kind of.
The Lord giveth, the Lord take it away.
Yeah.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Right.
But except that's not Jonah's response. When the Lord takes away the plant with a worm, now what happens?
Well, what's interesting here is, you know, God is showing his grace in verse 6, but he's showing his absolute sovereignty in verse 7.
Right.
And this worm is designed to destroy this plant, which is the object of affection by Jonah.
Right.
The whole point is he's showing Jonah, your affections are all messed up.
Yeah.
Big, I mean, we're talking way out there in left field, okay?
Yeah.
So what he's trying to do is using a visual lesson for him to say, your priorities are all messed up.
Well, verse 8 says, and it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. So he's got the sun, and he's got this, what's it called, the Sirocco, that hot wind.
Yeah.
So that he grew faint, then he wished death for himself, which he'd already wished up above in verse 3, right?
Right.
So he's now wishing death, and again he says, it is better for me to die than to live, which is what we read in verse 3.
Mm-hmm. And then verse 9 is a repeat of verse 4. God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? You were angry about what I did with my graciousness to Nineveh, and now you're angry that I took your beloved plant away. You know, is it right to be angry even unto death?
Well, we're out of time for this session, so we're going to pick back up repeating verse 9 and then going into the final few verses. Keep grace in focus.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Did you miss an episode of Grace in Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We have all our past episodes right there on the site. In addition, we have all kinds of free resources available for you. It's all designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that at faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next Grace in Focus, we will conclude our look at the book of Jonah and this reluctant prophet, and we'll talk about some of the lessons we can learn from it. I hope you'll join us. This is the Grace Evangelical Society. Until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.